The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. Every episode of the show, I am determined to make sure each of you are living your best life. You are being the superwoman that you're meant to be. And joining me today is a true superwoman. I have with me Elisa Kennedy Jones. She's a writer for TV and theater with credits including A Girl and a Gun and Uluthwali, which I probably said wrong. She also has a background working in digital advertising, branding, and strategy for clients such as GE, Coca-Cola, Tommy Hilfiger, Disney, Electronic Arts, and Colgate and Palmolive. She writes the blog Gotham Girl and is an NPR commentator who is active in the autism, human rights, and neurodiversity communities. She lives in New York City and sounds like a girl after my own heart. Welcome to the show, Elisa.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to bring you on, and you've got a book that's about to be released in November. It's called Gotham Girl Interrupted, My Misadventures in Motherhood, Love, and Epilepsy. And you have a story. You've been involved in TV shows and writing TV, but you have a personal health journey and a personal story that is really important for everyone to know. You have epilepsy, and I've dealt with many patients with epilepsy, and I understand what that journey can be like for them. But for all of those out there who don't really understand what epilepsy is, paint the picture for us. Tell us a little bit about what happened to you, what is epilepsy, and maybe where you are today.
Sure. So I came to epilepsy rather late. I think what a lot of people have the idea that it's a juvenile condition, that it's something that perhaps you grow out of. I do have the kind of epilepsy you see commonly portrayed in the media, and I have tonic-clonic seizures that are very dramatic, I'm told. And I came to it rather late in life. I came to it at age 40, which is I think the thing to know about epilepsy is that it can happen at any time. And if I were to define it, I would say you're talking about neurological or atypical electrical activity in the brain that can cause up to, if not beyond, 40 different types of seizures depending on the type of epilepsy you have. So just prefacing with a little bit of the clinical, which is to say there's a broad spectrum, like most chronic conditions. People are dealing with it on a daily basis. And I was on my way to sort of living my best life. One morning, I was on my way to the Television Academy right before I turned 40. And I saw the world fall away. I was on the way. I was taking my daughter and her friend to, I think, something ridiculous. I was taking them to the opening of Nanny McPhee, and I saw the world melt away in the kitchen and just fall away. And the next thing I knew, I was seeing some of the most beautiful stars and just different types of light that I've never seen in my life before. I'd known I'd felt a little off that morning. I was driving home. I'd gone to get coffee, and I felt like one eye was a film moving forward, and the vision in my other eye was sort of rolling backwards, and it was very strange. And I remember pausing before, but then just brushing it off, because I think that's what that's sort of what you do as a single mom.
Right.
You're like, you've got to go. You've got to get stuff done. You've got that list.
Oh my gosh.
And you've made appointments. And so I walk into the house. I'm like, look, hey, guys, ready to go. Let's go. Let's go. And right as I'm heading back toward the car with the children, I have one of the biggest grand mal seizures that I think I've ever had. I woke up later in the hospital. I really, really, really used denial as a strategy, I think in those first moments, because I couldn't, after waking up, because I couldn't believe that something like this could happen. I'd always spent my life, pursuing a healthy healthy diet, exercise, all the things that you're supposed to do. And it just, it didn't matter in that moment. My brain had other plans. And so I'd had a major grand mal seizure with a concussion, a split lip. I look like a prize fighter.
Well, so, it's just so funny. So many people have that same experience that you do, not necessarily with epilepsy, but hey, I did everything right. I ate organic. I meditated. I did all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why does this crap happen? So I can completely, completely relate and understand sort of that shock of, okay, why is my body now out of my control? So what happened next?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the queen of avoidance, I think. I just was like, I'm sure I did too much yoga. I haven't been getting enough sleep, probably. I'm probably very stressed out. I've been traveling for work, and I'm sure it's something I did that triggered this whole episode. And I'd really worried my children and scared them, and I felt terribly, terribly just guilty about that. I think it was the first thing on my mind. I was worried about their trauma. I wanted to give myself time. They immediately put me on anti-seizure drugs. I didn't have a diagnosis of epilepsy yet. I just knew that seizures signaled something probably very, very wrong. So I waited several months and I to do my follow-up with the neurologist because I kept not feeling right. I kept having that prodromal moment of something, and that prodromal means, of course, before the fever. And it's that moment where you know shit's going to go down. So you're like, I better get to the right place before I have like an intense aura or an actual seizure, meaning the right place, a safe place, a soft place, a place where you can't injure yourself. So I kept having that feeling. So I went to see a neurologist, and I was joking. I was laughing because, again, I had this profound belief that this was something that I can do, that something and something that, you know, that I probably a misstep that I made. And I'm sitting there laughing with the EEG tech, and I'm looking like the Bride of Frankenstein with my head covered in electrodes. I look like a complete cyborg, and I'm asking him to take a picture of me for my kids so that they can see how ridiculous this all is. And the doctor walks in, and he's a new doctor. He's a doctor I don't know very well. He's been recommended through my GP, and he looks at me, and he looks at the chart, and he says, "Oh, wow, does anyone else in your family have epilepsy?" And I said, "Wait, what? No. And I just couldn't. He's like, "Because you do." Zero bedside manner.
Oh my gosh.
Zero soft landing. And to me, I really didn't know anything about this. I'd seen kids at school have seizures and been really frightened for them when I was young. But I associated it with something that is something you're afflicted with when you're young, and that you probably grow out of it. It was a landslide. It brought me down, floored me entirely. Yeah. I started to cry uncontrollably because I couldn't believe it. And I was really floored, and I didn't know how to talk about it. I didn't even know enough about it. And he was not necessarily explaining everything to me about it.
Right. And I'm sure a lot of my audience can relate to that. Like the minute, you know, there's that hammer that comes down sometimes in the exam room, right? And it never comes down. I don't think it ever comes down in a really great way, but you have this or you have that. And it's just so jarring to be the receiver of that information. And there's almost like a shock and then a grieving period and then an action period that usually follows, you know, and I'm sure you probably walked through a lot of those emotions as you were processing what he was trying to tell you.
It was just really, I think I got also what happened with me, because I tend to lean toward comedy and improv, is that I immediately laughed at him. I was like, You're kidding.
You're kidding with me. This is a joke. You're joking.
That was the moment before I wept and the hammer did come down actually in my brain going, wait a minute. This is serious. This is really serious. And I think I thought about it. I sound so New York right now. I thought about it in a way where it was like, wait a minute. Epilepsy means this is a chronic condition. I think that's what I knew about it. I knew that mm-hmm. this was a repeat, that this was going to keep happening and happening. And these seizures were like swallowing a bolt of lightning. They were beautiful at the beginning. I mean, gorgeous, but waking up and crawling back to humanity and becoming myself mm-hmm. again was very hard. And the weeks after I came home from the hospital with that first seizure, my language was completely off. Everything was off. I would go to say the word garage and it would come out yard, garbage, garage. And I noticed that, you know, I just didn't have my words at second call like I'd had before. I couldn't read as well. Things were really cognitively off. And so I'd go to say, can you put something in the, you know, and I was searching for the word dishwasher. And
so what did you do? How did you retrain yourself to speak?
To my child, I'd be like, can you put that dish in the thing that washes the dishes? And, you know, my daughter might say, you mean a dishwasher? Or, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, that's not a word. Stop pranking me. Mm. Or right. something. Like it would wow. become this kind of a moment of being very childlike again, but also saying, are you sure sink's a word? Like very plain, ordinary day-to-day thing became complex. And I began to question a lot of things. So yeah, there was that journey of like shock and, mm-hmm. but then also cognitive repair that I felt like I needed to do. So I found that anything I did with my hands helped my work. And so that was something that I was like, okay, I've got to do more things. So if I was writing by hand or if I was, say, baking something, that actually mm-hmm. really helped my language come back. But I did go through a lot of, again, denial and grief in terms of how do you talk about this? And right. every story I read, every narrative, every story I came across was really a bummer. It was this repeat. It looked like a lifetime of different med trials and different types of potential seizures and repeat episodes of ambulances and hospitals. And I was very, very, very frightened for the future. At that moment in the exam room, I almost wished for something worse, for something that was definitive, because this felt like such an uncertain journey. And it also felt like such a, from what I could read from every forum about epilepsy, because I went into learning mode, this was going to take over my whole life. And this is going to be something I was going to have to really learn to manage and live with. And I wanted to live. I didn't want this sadness. I wanted to tell a better story.
So what did you do?
That's
what was the answer?
Comedy came in.
More with Dr. Taz coming up, but first I want to tell you about Sun Basket. Sun Basket delivers delicious meal kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. Now, you know, mindful eating is an essential part of self-care, and every part of our life is enhanced when we eat nourishing, healthy meals. And with Sun Basket, you can enjoy delicious, mindful meals every night. Now, I know sometimes staying on track can be hard, but that's where Sunbasket comes in to make it easy to eat right. Sunbasket offers 18 weekly recipes, including paleo, gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian, and more, all delivered to your door. Sunbasket takes care of the details so it's easier to take care of yourself. And did I mention Sunbasket contains organic produce and clean ingredients? That's right. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh organic produce and responsibly raised meats and seafood. And we want you to experience Sunbasket for yourself. Go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/wholehealth for $35 off. sunbasket.com/wholehealth. Now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
For anyone out there who's, you know, either struggling with epilepsy or a different disease. Again, I don't think your story is limited to epilepsy, because there's so many chronic illnesses today where, you know, how we get the news and how we get the diagnosis and then the what's next becomes so critical to our healing journey and our outcomes and then the impact we make on our personal lives and on our families and then on our communities. I think that's so important. So you turned to comedy. Would you say comedy helped you heal? Where did that road take you?
So it took me in a couple. I started planning writing this book called Spaz, which eventually came the book, became the book that is Gotham Girl. And I started writing it because I decided I needed to lean. I'd watched a number of seizures on video. I'd watched a number of different med trials and different types of things. And I realized that I have always had in me this kind of deep inner goofball. And so I decided I would start writing this book. I would learn about epilepsy. I would think about, you know, how could, you know, how was my brain going to fix its own issues. I mean, I think that, I mean, my favorite neurologist, he always says, you know, you think the brain is weird, but the brain is weirder than you can think. I took that as a challenge. Mm-hmm. So I started writing. I knew I needed to find better stories. And what I kept thinking about is all the different times and places that, and different aspects of this condition being chronic, like all the different people I was waking up to, all the different circumstances after each seizure that I was waking up to. I've woken up to a very worried hippie out at a writer's retreat who saw me have a seizure and say, "Oh my gosh, dude, you need some cannabis." I'm on all kinds of and I was like, I don't even know who you are. But there are plenty of stories. I have woken up to a very worried Christian pastor who was trying to pray for me. I have woken up to very worried friends and very worried kids. And what that meant was I had to find a way to manage my life and my seizures wherever they were happening, however they were happening, in a way that taught the world that I was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. That these things are temporary, that not everything has to be devastating, and that you might find yourself in the most ridiculous situation. You wake up wearing your Hillary socks or something, or you wake up in the most, or you wake up in a fabulous coat and you're glad you took the right first because someone saw you and said, okay, that person is, you know, someone, the right person, the right good Samaritan saw you and said, oh, they're having a seizure. I know what to do. I know not to put anything in their mouth. I know to turn them on their side. I know to, you know, make sure they're not aspirating and to make sure I'm timing the seizure. And if we're going on too long, that 911 is on the way and that not everything has to end up with you in the ER. Not all seizures are the same. So you're lucky if you find that person. So I also made that part of my charter. What I also discovered was there were a lot of amazing people throughout history who dealt with epilepsy on an ongoing basis, from Einstein to Agatha Christie.
Really?
Yes. To, Prince had seizures.
Da Vinci, you said also maybe, and Van Gogh, they had seizures as well?
Van Gogh. And there's, and they also, I mean, they dealt with a number of mental health, chronic mental health issues as well, because of course, that's the first thing that came to me was anxiety and depression around when the next seizure was going to happen, how people were going to respond, how I was going to respond, what was going to be my life. And so I think that a lot of those great people were grappling with a lot of those chronic mental health issues as well. And that was an important piece of the equation in terms of self-care, in terms of educating other people around you, your family, your friends, that, you know, I'm going to need to sleep for probably 2 days after a grand mal because I feel like I've been in a prize fight. Every muscle in my body is wrecked. And so, you know, that was a real challenge. I think I struggled and struggled with types of medications. They kept changing on, and
yeah,
I kept,
that happens.
Our bodies do. And I think, you know, the thing that really brought, me to thinking more deeply about this was with the Dostoevskys, with the neuroscience, and with the, everyone else on the spectrum of autism, epilepsy, and neurodiversity in general, was when I actually was, you know, out on a beautiful spring day going to pick up some coffee, and I walked into a grocery store. I had a seizure in that grocery store and woke up having broken my face in 16 places, shattering both sides of my jaw and teeth, and was really, really critically injured in that. And finding myself wired shut for an extended period of time meant that all I could do was write. That's all I had.
Are a lot of these stories in your book, in Gotham Girl Interrupted? Is that?
Yes, they are. The story of breaking my whole face is definitely, it starts off Gotham Girl Interrupted. And I tried to write the book almost like you would write a TV show. And I think that that makes it somewhat different from other memoirs or other essay collections, and that it starts with a cold open in the grocery store where I'm waking up to the hottest EMT. And this will always happen in New York City. Something will happen to you and you'll wake up in a rom-com. That can happen too. So you're waking up to a person going, Miss Jones, what'd you take? Did you take anything?
No.
And you're looking at him going, wait a minute, why is there an ungodly, was there's like a walking dead amount of blood on his shirt? Who is this guy? Is that my brain on him? Did I get brain on a really hot guy? Oh my God. And then, so you're opening like a TV show with a cold open that like sets the stage for the big crisis. And then you go back in time to find out the backstory of how this all happened and how this came to be and how you got to this moment and how ridiculous this moment is, how sad this moment is, but also how you're going to walk your way back to life.
More with Dr. Taz coming up, but first I want to tell you about Kaya Biotics. Kaya Biotics are high-quality probiotics designed to improve gut health. Now, you want to feel good? You want to live your best life? I get it, but if your gut health isn't functioning properly, life can be miserable. The gut and its impact on our physical and mental health has been underestimated for years, and that's where Kaya Biotics comes in. Probiotics that are exclusively certified organic and only include organic ingredients, a complete novelty for probiotics. Plus, it's easy to get the right probiotic for your needs with three different probiotic supplements. Multibac strengthens digestive functions and your immune system. Candida Complex fights candida and yeast infections. And Body Plus helps with weight loss. And there's no unnecessary fillers, additives, or anti-caking agents. And Kaya Biotics are also vegan, GMO-free, and come in stomach acid-resistant late-release capsules. So try Kaya Biotics. It's a treat for your gut. Choose the right organic probiotic formula for your body and save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Once again, save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Now, back to the Dr. Taz Show.
What's your hope for the book? What are you hoping for? What do you hope comes out of someone reading your book and reading these stories? What would your message be?
I think that you can have an amazing life. You can have an incredible life. You can have love and you can have connection and you can have all the things that you want, even with a chronic condition like epilepsy, even if you're dealing with depression. You can have bad days. And I know a lot of people say that. I guess I'm thinking about other books coming out about epilepsy, mm-hmm. and it's really kind of a tale of tragedy. And I like to think that there's more hope than that.
I love that. And that's the message that we need to really get out there. I think, you know, people think their lives are over when they get a diagnosis, a disease, or have to walk a different journey than what they expected. So I love that, you know, there's still room, no matter what, for love, for connection, for compassion, for change, for all these other human qualities while we continue to understand health and healing in the brain and all these things that are a little bit mysterious to us. I know you have a podcast as well, right? Is that new? It just started, or has that been around for a little while?
We are actually launching it with the Epilepsy Foundation, with Epic on Long Island here in New York. And it's mm-hmm. called Fit Starts, and it's new. It's launching in November. We're live broadcasting from Epic. And I mean, I think that really it goes, I mean, the crux of the podcast is that, yeah, there is hope, there is possibility, and there's a lot of comedy that is available to you in healing and can be a really strong driver of healing because our brain is evolved to tell stories. You look at the way the brain behaves, whether it's telling a story to, you know, or sending a message to your small toe or sending a message to your mouth to say this word or that word or the other word. Our brains are evolved to tell stories and to give us that oxytocin bump, which you see on a brain scan. And I think that what we're going to be doing is telling a lot of stories with fits and starts about how you live, hopefully, and you live how to live well with epilepsy. And how to have a life full of possibility as opposed to limitation.
Oh my gosh. It's such an important...
Yeah, I'd like to see the narrative change. Yeah, it is important because, I mean, my partner Jessica Keenan-Smith and I spent this past weekend at the Epilepsy Walk with 1,000 people out, and none of them are expressing a kind of... All of them were so glad to be there. They were so glad right. to be alive. And again, it's about finding those pockets of joy.
I think that is probably the ultimate message of healing is that those pockets of joy are what keep us moving forward. They're what keep us connected. And the entire point you just made of having a conversation about yourself and that our brains are wired for storytelling. That storytelling begins with us, the stories we tell ourselves, right? I mean, we know today that those stories become hardwired. They're hardwired in our DNA. They get passed down generationally. So knowing that we have brains that are hardwired for stories and knowing that those stories do get passed down, all the more responsibility we each have to change that story so it is one full of joy and it's not one that's dark or full of despair. You've used comedy as your tool. I can't wait to listen to more of what you do and see how you approach it and even tune into the podcast. But, you know, for everybody else, if it's not comedy, there's so many different ways to have a uplifting story with yourself. So that would be my challenge to anybody listening today. What would you tell the audience kind of as final thoughts when you reflect on your journey and this great book coming out and your podcast launching, what is the one thing you would want to leave them with?
Oh, don't be afraid.
I like that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Is that what you see a lot of, is fear?
I do. What I want for epileptics and anyone with chronic, any kind of chronic condition, be it Lyme disease or, you know, just dealing with arthritis, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask a person with epilepsy about epilepsy. Don't be afraid of a person having a seizure. There are a few things to know. They're fairly simple, but we need to make room in the world for epileptics to be in the workplace, to be in public spaces, to be connected socially. I think that fear gets in the way of that important connection, and epileptics need it more than ever. So do many chronic patients with chronic conditions.
Well, I think we can't say it any better than that. Don't be afraid. Tell the story that you want to tell. Change the story that you tell yourself. Our brains are wired for storytelling. These are the things that I'm going to remember, Elisa. I think they're so profound. And I wish you much success with your book. The book everyone remember is Gotham, Girl Interrupted, My Misadventures in Motherhood, Love, and Epilepsy. And the podcast is Fits and Starts, and that begins soon as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Elisa, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to find you?
They should go to IamGothamGirl.com. That's probably the best way to find me and talk directly with me. And I'd love to hear their stories, and I'd love to hear how they cope with their various conditions.
Fantastic. So IamGothamGirl.com. That's the website to get in touch with Elisa. And for everyone else, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been an episode of Superwoman Wellness. Be the superwoman you're meant to be and let your light shine through so we can together change our world. Thank you.